Listen, guys, a fabulous young crop of guys.
I think we got to look elsewhere. We've got to look for the divine.
And under the current structure.
Fluid type football, mainly fisting. What about the extra monies?
When I hear this, guys, it just makes me sick.
Male GAA, they're just completely genderfied right now. They're so mainstream, it's disgusting. They need to go back, you know, they need to become a bit more hipster.
They need to go back to their gender fluid ways in 96.
Oh yeah, I'm Barry Moran, and you're listening to Mayo Are Back.
Howie lads, Con Mort here, and Mayo Are Back.
Look it, guys, you're listening to one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. It's Mayo Are Back.
Angelina Nugent speaking. Just wanted to say,
Mayo Are Back.
Hello, this is Kim Jong-un, and welcome to the Mayo Are Back podcast.
How do? Pope Francis here. Mayo Are Back.
Mayo Are fucking back.
Let them say what they like about Mayo people, but Mayo supporters are the best supporters in the world.
They're back.
Well, hello, folks, and it's a very big how-do to you. You're very welcome to the Mayo Are Back podcast, Season 8, Episode 3. And what a privilege and a pleasure it is to be back on the airwaves with you once more. We have got a jam-packed episode in store for you today. It's a very much an exciting time at Mayo Are Back headquarters because we have the start of the championship has just rolled its way around the corner. It's the April edition of this podcast. And I am joined with one man who needs some introduction, the dulcet tones of Fat Larry. Fat Larry, how do? Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Up, Mayo. How are you getting on? It's good to be here. It's good to be here, TJ. The championship is back. We are back. Mayo are back. We're here today to preview the Mayo versus New York game in the first round of the Connacht Senior Football Championship, and we might review it as well while we're at it. It's going to be a jam-packed show. We are surely talking to some very hungover and shook Mayo inbreds, TJ, it's fair to say, given the scenes that we witnessed beyond in Times Square, New York, over the weekend. I know myself and yourself weren't there this time around, but it's good to have a fresh head and be able to give our expert view on the proceedings from the Big Apple from the weekend, on what is Mayo's longest running and indeed most successful Mayo GA podcast. We've been doing it now since the days of Home Ellie. So for everyone listening in, you've come to the right place for insightful analysis and opinion. What did you make of the weekend, TJ? It was fairly raw out there in New York.
First and foremost, Fat Larry, I thought it was a fabulous display of fistwork at the weekend. I thought that the Mayo team really showed their stuff to New York at the weekend, and good enough to put New York back into their box. You know, they're kind of one of these sort of big metropolitan cities. They boast a big population. But when it comes to their performances on the football field, they're an absolute disgrace. And you could see that in full force again at the weekend. Now, personally, I didn't watch any of the game. 5 years ago, I was at the game and I didn't watch any of it that day either. The Mayo versus New York game is not a game to be watched by the supporters. It's nice to be there. It's nice to find yourself in and around the atmosphere, getting kind of in and around the rough and tumble in Lorna Park. Get yourself into sort of Julian's of midfield area, but not to actually watch it or take in any of the talking points. I do believe that Mayo won by an emphatic scoreline, 2-0 to 1, and a few dismissal points is all.
Absolutely correct. 5-17 to 2-5 was the final score, TJ. It was a very good performance from Mayo. They really did expose themselves over in the Big Apple. They really exposed New York for what they were. They really revealed, as you said there, some of their best stuff. And I've no doubt the Rossies will be absolutely quaking in their boots. Ryan O'Donoghue really inserted himself into the Big Apple. He cut a slice in that apple and he ripped it apart, it's fair to say, clocking up 1 goal and 13 points, I believe. 9 of those coming from frees, TJ, but you take them any way you can get them. The cock also came on. I know there was a bit of pushing and shoving there between the cock and the rod when there was a penalty to be taken. But when it comes to padding the championship scoring record, there's a new sheriff in town, and Ryan O'Donoghue, of course, will be eyeing up that top scorer award now come the end of the year. Whether Mayo win or not, it will be another award, I should say, well worth winning from a Mayo perspective. I suppose, TJ, the special equation, as you often refer to, following this Mayo team, it's one of the really special Mayo footballing events where, as is always the case, and you might be able to expand on this point a little bit further, it's one of those Mayo games, TJ, where the supporters really are the stars of the show and really do come to the forefront. You know, you're obviously O'Donoghue won man of the match, but you see guys there in Mayo County Council jackets and lads mm-hmm. with Mayo tramp stamps on their arse. It's a day for the supporters, isn't it?
100% fact, Larry. And you've alluded to two of the all-time great Mayo fans there in my eyes. The man that wore the Mayo County Council high-vis jacket with the hood. He was prepared for any weather climate. He was prepared for any sort of equation weather-wise. And he was the type of individual now where if you had that jacket on around Manhattan, Times Square, you never know what sort of jobs you'd fall into or what sort of jobs you'd get done for the New York County Council. As for the man with the tramp stamp, Mayo for Sam, just on the bridge of that young man's arse there. And that was wonderful. I don't quite know who it is, but there was a couple of pictures being circulated of that at the weekend. That's tremendous to see. That shows me that the young fellas and the young ones out there, they haven't lost that little bit of sort of half-baked unwellness and sort of the inbredness that comes with being in a large group of Mayo fans. And as we alluded to, that even the tri-state area was shook by the sort of red, raw, roasted, inbred bucks all landed in New York at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, we're well used to it here in Mayo. You know, Aidan O'Shea landing off the plane and absolutely shaking the life out of the place. It's been a long time since we've seen that level of inbreeding among Mayo supporters. And I think, as we touched on here recently, you know, a lot of Mayo fans have been very shook ever since we lost to Tyrone a couple of years ago in the All-Ireland final. But I am going to come on the record here, TJ, and say with little to no hesitation that I think this Mayo bandwagon might well be back on the road and ready for another tilt at Sam Maguire. You know, when you see young Mayo inbreds in high-visibility jackets, half-bakes in foam fingers waving them up in the air, sticking the middle finger up to the Big Apple, I think it bodes very, very well for the Connacht Championship and the sugary sweet 16 All-Ireland series, which will come after that.
You're right, Fat Larry, and I think it's worth emphasising at this point that Mayo are back are imploring the Mayo team this year to go on a front door approach throughout the Connacht Championship, because Stephen Rochford has enjoyed backdoor shenanigans in the past. When you think back to 2016...
Yeah,
one only needs to think back to 2016 or 2017 to remember the heady days of Fermanagh at home and Derry at home and Westmeath up in Croke Park and all the fun and games that went with that. But I would implore them to go on a front door approach when it comes to tackling the Rossies. Tackle the Rossies at the business end and don't worry about trying to sneak in the back door after that or whatever sort of way the sugar sweet group stages manifest themselves in this year's particular championship. But there was something that you mentioned to me off the air, Fat Larry, and I hope it wouldn't be remiss of me to bring this particular topic onto the air now at this venture. And that is to say that there was a lot of Mayo fans, boys and girls, men and women, young and old, who would have found themselves in and around the vicinity of Gaelic Park in the Bronx last weekend. And a lot of them, dare I say, you wouldn't have seen them in Pádraig Sean McDiarmida if we were playing against Leitrim. You wouldn't see them in the cold, wintry nights in McHale Park for the league. It's fair to say that some of them, in my opinion anyways, and we have a platform here, we need to use this platform to call out people for what we deem to be wrong. And I think those Mayo fans, what they did were wrong. I think some of them are an absolute disgrace, the way they were carrying on, going to this game just for a jolly up, going on these sorts of... as if they were part of the Mayo backroom team, one of the 45, 50-year-olds that got to travel with the team on a knees-up, sort of a drinking equation. I absolutely think that they should be hanging their heads in shame, all of those supporters and all of those fans, indeed, and a lot of the hangers-on, Fat Larry. A lot of them, I think, are an absolute number five disgrace in my eyes.
Absolutely, TJ. Hear, hear. I totally concur with those sentiments. Look at TJ. It could best be described, you know, I suppose it was more akin to a kind of a Mayo orgy, I would have said, going on there over the weekend over in the Big Apple. And look at that kind of stuff happens all the time over in America. We see it in films there, you know, be it in Lethal Weapon 6 or, you know, Spider-Man the Third. But look at TJ, myself and yourself have always been very, very clear here. We don't attend any games, the good days or the bad days. I'm not going to come on here, TJ, and pontificate and say, you know, why the fuck weren't you above and Park Sean McDiarmada at the under 20 game last Wednesday evening? I wasn't fucking there either, but I wasn't in New York going around throwing shapes and, you know, acting the big man or anything like that. But look at TJ, we know what Mayo supporters are like. They come out in their droves. I'm more interested, though, in the real issues here. And I got it on good authority from a close inbred. I won't name him, but he did provide me with some beautiful footage that I know drew a tear to Patsy Broderick in particular when it came into our WhatsApp group. Was the sight of two legendary former Mayo Mangers standing side by side in Gaelic Park, New York. And I would just like to take this opportunity, TJ, to remind the listeners and the players that since those two Mangers were ousted all those years ago because a certain cohort thought that they were the reason we hadn't won in All-Ireland, I'd just like to inform this current management team of Kevin McStay, Stephen Rochford, et al., that they have a big shoes to fill. And when I saw that photo of those two Mangers in the stand, it did something to me, TJ. I'm not going to say it on air what it did to me, but you know what sort of effect seeing those men has on inbreds like myself.
When it came across my desk, I came across it because I don't know what you'd rather say, because it was such a glorious image. We must praise them, in fact, as well, for standing in Homeli formation. It's almost like when you'd watch Ant and Dec on the television. Ant is always standing on the left of the screen because that's how the viewer perceives them. And we have always here at Mayo are Back, and I think across the wider media of Ireland at large, perceived them to be Holmes plus Kennelly equals Homeli. So when you've seen the, it's like the Mayo jersey, you always want to have the green above the red. And of course, when you see Pat and Noel, you always want to see Pat above your Noel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's one of those iconic images, TJ. Of course, we talk about it here quite often, but it was unbelievable to see it in 2024 format. And yeah, just it would really set you up nicely now for the year ahead. And I think that's the sign for me that things are going to go well for us. If Pat and Noel are willing to support this Mayo team, then I think we're on to something good. But look at TJ, what happened in New York, as I said, it's been resigned to history now. Look at, we gave them an awful riding, as we kind of expected, but you know, as I said, we think to our old pal Andy Moore, who went out there last year and got himself a bit of a roasting. So look at a potential two-skinned banana type equation, but we got through it fairly well. Now, the next game up, TJ, 2 weeks' time, it's a game that I probably won't go to. I know you definitely won't be going to. But it's Mayo against that shower of bastards over the border there. Mayo and Roscommon in the semi-final of the Connacht Senior Football Championship. Is there anything we can say about this matchup, TJ, that we haven't said 100 times before here?
Well, we want to get right down into detail with this sort of match because we mightn't be back on the airwaves before this particular game is played. So we want to sort of ingest, digest, bisect, dissect all of the intricacies and all of, I suppose, the key matchups that are going to take place in this particular game. And the first one in my eyes that we need to talk about in great detail for me now would be the meeting of the WAGs, the respective WAG teams, because a lot can be said and done on the pitch, but in my eyes, these Connacht Championship games, these early round preliminary sort of matches, they've always been won or lost in the stands and between sort of the WAGs. They'll have their own personal battles going on. Judging by the pictures online the last day, there was a lot of certain, the new wave of WAGs were all out getting their pictures on the pitch with these young Mayo Bucks, these young young stallions that we have on this Mayo team. And it was, I suppose it was good to see, but for me now, personally, I thought we were moving towards a more sort of a gender fluid, non-binary sort of a bisexual team almost. But yet yeah. you still sort of see the same old sort of faces there cropping up again the whole time. And I don't know, I just think that if we're going to go that little step further, we kind of need to break down a couple of these barriers and expand our horizons a little bit.
Absolutely, TJ. I think you look back to the noughties and the Homelli days, etc., you know, where Mayo had a very kind of a, there was a real kind of homosexual element to things. You know, you had the crow and the drake and the big bird there, and they were all, you know, like two peas in a pod, you know, birds of a feather flock together and all of that kind of thing. And you know, there was loads more then. Sure, you had, you had Drake and Dougie there, and you had all kinds of different bits and pieces going on behind the background. And it only did things good on the field of play. So hopefully, TJ, look at, as you said, that might come back into vogue over the next little while. I'm more interested, TJ, now, and I'm going to speak directly to the listeners, because I think it's something that myself and yourself have discussed a lot lately, and I'm going to call out the listeners at this point, and I would like them to give us some direct feedback if they could. TJ, an interesting element for the Mayo Roscommon game is, what songs would you like the Mayo GAA Instagram account play as the team are marching off the team bus and all of their backroom team? I would like the listeners, if they could, to get in touch with us and suggest some nice little ditties that could accompany that particular video. I know you really liked the cover, TJ, that the New York Pipe Band produced in the parade over in New York there on Sunday. It was a really unique number.
Yeah, and thanks very much must go out. Our sincere thanks must go out to the Mayo GAA Instagram account, that's at Mayo GAA, for putting up that video, because to me now, that to me sort of seemed to be about three people in a marching band, but the music in the background was Peggy Goo, and it goes like na 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 na, and it was absolutely a tremendous cover, I thought. I thought they really, really did sort of a stunning bit of work there. But another one I'd like to shine my flashlight on, or my fleshlight even, would be the video of all the Mayo team walking out of the airport. And it's an absolute sort of a banger. It's a banger you wouldn't hear in an underground Dutch sex club. Is the only way I could describe it. So those sorts of hardcore dance songs is one way of approaching it. For me now, I'd be more of a traditionalist. If the Mayo team were to walk out to Whiskey and Me Tay by Kevin Prendergast, or even something along the lines of Claire Morris by Seamus Moore, the girl called Claire Morris.
Yeah.
That to me now would be a more appropriate approach. But I suppose it's a sort of the Mayo team looking forward in a way and showing that they know their stuff and they know their electronic dance music, Fat Larry.
Yeah, I think Mayo GAA definitely, they missed out on a little trick there, I think, at the weekend. I think it would have been lovely to see all them Mayo players coming out, or where they could have done a little feature where they might have opened up their suitcase and show us what little bits and pieces they bring with them on these holidays. I think that would have definitely made some interesting viewing. My highlight of that particular video was the there was a woman in there. I suppose she might have hailed from, you know, maybe a different part of the world. She seemed to get a little bit lost in the excitement. You could say that maybe, you know, she was being overcome by a new sense of Mayo fever. I know if I was in that position, I would have been definitely a little bit awestruck as well. But it was definitely nice to see. I thought she might be a new panel member maybe, or a little physio or something like that maybe. But look, that was one of my highlights of the weekend. So maybe Mayo inbreds out there could maybe suggest a few songs, and we might get our tech man Dixie McHugh to come on, and he might edit up a few little videos for us.
But speaking of our tech man, Fat Larry, I don't know if there's technical gremlins in the pipeline today. I don't know if it's coming from my end or from your end or whether the listener can even hear it or not. But there seems to be a little bit of that last particular monologue you were on. It was wonderful in one way. But in another way, I didn't have a fucking clue what you were saying.
Yeah. No, I could tell that all right, TJ, from the camera here. You are looking a little bit lost. I think... I suppose I'm on the bad internet back here in County Mayo. So I suppose our listeners will understand what shite internet means and all the rest of it. So hopefully, sure. Look, we'll see how it is at the end. I suppose we could maybe compare it to what Roscommon might produce in a couple of weeks' time. We can only hope that Mayo will give them a right rimming now, as they said. And
dare I say, Fat Larry, excuse me for my interjection, but dare I say, if your internet is bad, that sounds like a problem for Anal Drillon that needs to be sorted out. Mayo General Hospital's famous representative, and representative of the West at large, and a County Mayo stalwart in his day, and now a stalwart of Dáil Éireann, working his way up the ranks there. We've seen him. Just Simon Harris's right-hand man there on the recent erection that took place within the Fine Gael party. And I suppose in one way it's absolutely great to see a Mayo man rising up the ranks like that. And in another much more real sense, I think he's an absolute disgrace. I think the whole lot of them are an absolute disgrace.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we know all about it here in Mayo, TJ. You know, we've had Holmes crisis here down through the years, of different kinds, and, you know, not being able to pay off our loans and, you know, sacking good homes when you get them. It's not nice to see, you know, and I suppose he would know and would have had particular experience of votes back through the years, you know, long before votes of a political equation took place. So I suppose it's no surprise really, TJ, you know, that he has gone on to achieve such a level of success in the political sphere. But look, hopefully he might be able to swindle a few euro out of Simon Harris at a little shakedown to add to the biscuit tin fund, which I've no doubt is absolutely bulging after the weekend, TJ. It's always it's a little fundraiser. It's a good little weekend away for them all, as you know well. You've experienced it there and you've been on both sides of it, I know.
It's hard to believe it's only 5 short years, Fat Larry, since we had the mighty Moneybags Tim all the way from London via Glenhecht, when Tim was supplying the cash and leaving no shortage of holidays for the boys and sitting up the front of the bus, as it were, and flexing his financial muscle that the Mayo County Board, in their infinite wisdom, said, no thank you, we don't want any of that money to be flying around here, not if you're going to come in swinging it around like you're, I don't know, one of the Glazers or one of these big football club owners. It was kind of a tumultuous time for Mayo, and thankfully Mayo are back, we're there to cover it all. It's hard to believe, Fat Larry, we're in our 8th season on the road here, and I suppose at this venture in the podcast I'd like to pause and praise ourselves in this particular instance, because you're not going to get much praise from elsewhere. Self-praise seems to be the only way sometimes, so I'd like to just congratulate myself, and in particular yourself, Fat Larry, and thank you. I can just see your eyebrows there in the screen. I would just like to thank you so much for all you do for this podcast and for Mayo football at large. You really are a credit to yourself and to your mother and father, I would say.
Thank you very much, TJ. That's very kind, and I would like to echo those sentiments right back all over you as well. We are on the road a very long time, TJ. We're the most experienced, and I suppose we're the longest recorded podcast on the air in terms of Mayo football. And I met a nice inbred there who had some very kind words to say. He said he has absolutely no interest in Mayo GA altogether, has never attended a Mayo game in his life, but he said he listens in every couple of months whenever we're arsed recording a podcast, which is very kind, and a big shout out to all of those inbreds who tune in on a regular basis. I know a few of them have been fairly thick over the last while that, you know, we haven't been recording podcasts as often, but look at TJ, a thirsty inbred is a hungry inbred, as they say, and I think starving them and you know, just drawing back a little bit, you know, when we open up the questions here on the page, you can just see that people have that little bit more spunk in their sails, maybe just because they've been starved of that a little bit more. So we'd like to thank all of our loyal listeners. Of course, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you and all of your kind and generous financial backing that you provide us week in, week out.
And let this podcast be a lukewarm pint of draft Bulmers on a sunny day, on a sunny Sunday afternoon, with not a single cube of ice in it to cool it down. Let it be a tepid warm glass of cloudy Bulmers that you get down in a beer garden, maybe in a pub outside Claremorris or halfway up the back end of Ballyhaunus. And that's what we want to be to the listeners. And it is time to sort of wrangle this podcast back on track. We do need to open up the Mayo or Back mailbag, which is absolutely stuffed to the gills after a long couple of weeks without a podcast. We have an awful lot of thoughts, questions, comments, opinions, analysis, all sorts of wild rumors and accusations have been coming in as well. So we're going to delve deep into that. We do want to do full justice to the Roscommon game, though. So just to get a little bit more insightful on that particular game, I wonder, how do you stop a man? How do you tackle a man like Paddy Joe? Because Roscommon's key danger man for me is certainly not one of the 15 starters or any man coming off the bench. It'll be a man standing at the very back of the stand with a crimson and blue bandana on his head, a little moustachine on his face, and a man that could really and truly talk shite with the best of them, Fat Larry. He'd put ourselves to shame. That's Paddy Joe Burke from Roscommon.
Ah, yeah, TJ, look, I mean, this guy is as close to a Mayo supporter as you can get. You know, I suppose he epitomises probably everything that's good. I'd say he's probably the only good thing to ever come out of Roscommon, I'd say. And, you know, that's a mark of respect to the man, I think. You know, I suppose, how do you deal with him, TJ? Well, I suppose you look at... I suppose you get the you take the Stephen Cohen approach, I suppose, and you shake the bag of nuts, I suppose, and you swarm him and you get bodies in and around him, and I suppose just make it difficult for him. You know, he's a classy operator, Paddy Joe. You know, if he's given time and space, he will do damage, and he has hurt us in the past. We only have to think back to last, I think it was Easter Sunday last year when we were ambushed inside in a slippery, wet and windy McHale Park that day, and he was slipping and sliding all over the place that night as well, beyond in Castlebar. And you got to give him the respect he deserves, TJ, and I think, you know, I've no doubt Kevin McSatte and his backroom team will be providing Roscommon with the utmost of respect, and I think we'll be putting out, you know, a strong team there. And you know, I'd be hopeful for a Mayo win here. I think we've a fine young crop of players there now and are well capable of doing the job.
I've stepped out onto the pitch many times to represent Mayo. The people of Mayo deserve a voice that's willing to fight and call out wrongdoing in their interests. I'm Alan Dillon. I'm Alan Dillon. I'm Alan Dillon. And I'm asking for your number one vote. I'm Alan Dillon. And I'm asking for your number one vote.
Oh no!
I'm Alan Dillon.
Oh no!
And I'm asking for your number one vote.
Oh no!
So awful. Oh, this is just cruel. What do we have to do? So awful.
You know, this is a culmination of a couple of weeks' hard work.
It's cruel. It's like getting an awful injection, and it's not stopping. It just keeps on going. Yeah.
We're back now, and we put in a little musical interlude there after one of Fat Larry's wonderful little speeches, because there does seem to be a few technical gremlins in the shaft tonight, and you never know when this podcast is going to end, because as we said earlier on, I currently live in a hi-ace van touring around the countryside of a land far away. Fat Larry just lives out sort of the Newport Road. He lives somewhere down between even behind the bacon factory and kind of on your heading down your way halfway between the Neil and Ballyhona, so just under Muilree. Mm-hmm. He could be anywhere in County Mayo, but one thing for certain is his internet is absolutely shite. So we'll just cut to the chase now, and we'll try and face this podcast for home, face her for Crowpatrick, as it were. Yeah. And we want to talk about really the big talking point, more impressing than sort of talking shite about this game against New York or even this non-consequential Rossi qualifier that we have. We need to talk about the big issues, and we've never been afraid of tackling the big issues, taking the bull by the balls, as it were.
Yeah.
So here we are to discuss the tragic news that will have Mayo fans shedding tears from every orifice, the news that our superstar Down Under, a man we would not mind having to go down under for, Oisin Mullins, is getting his luscious locks cut, Matt Larry. He's getting his hair cut after 3 years. He posted onto his Instagram a picture of him from behind
nice.
With the hair going all the way down to where his Mayo tramp stamp would be if he had one, like that Mayo fan that sent us in the picture over the weekend. If he had a Mayo tramp stamp, it would nearly be covered by the long locks of hair. But we got the gutting, crushing, soul-destroying news that he's going cutting his hair, Fat Larry. What do you make of that?
Well, TJ, I was talking to an inbred there. I know Oisin is cutting his hair for a very worthy cause, a very admirable young gentleman, considering he did fuck off and leave us and go play a different sport. But we won't hold it against him. He is he's a great ambassador for the County Mayo. But an inbred told me that they would donate the full amount of money to charity, whatever that is. They'd match it on their own just to get a handle on that hair when it's cut off. And I would say, you know, a lot of Mayo inbreds out there who, if they had the money to spend, would probably do likewise. But, TJ, absolutely shocking news. But I suppose it's great to see you here on the screen. You know, you're making a good attempt at it yourself. You're looking wild and bushy. So you never know, if you keep training, you never know, you might be a future Oisin Mullin yourself. I know you were a fine player back in your day, and you never know, you might be a sweeper-keeper for the Mayo team if you ever decide to come home yet.
Well, there's always time to dream. I suppose in terms of putting up the £40, you'd hope that maybe Willie Joe Padden and Portuguese international superstar Rui Costa could re-establish their firm friendship and their business partnership that they had at the height of the Celtic Tiger when they were selling homes in the Algarve.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them get their arses in gear and put up a sort of enough money that could get the young man to keep his hair. But listen, no more than him heading off to Australia, he's living his life, Fat Larry. We can't stop him now. He's at that age now where he wants to go off and enjoy himself. And, you know, he's old enough now and he's bold enough. We're not going to sit here pontificating and moralising and telling him what he should be doing with his life choices or indeed his hairstyles.
Yeah, and come here, TJ. I heard a rumour. Now, I suppose nowadays, you know, the old rumour mill is very tight. It's not like it was back in the day, you know, when there was rumours flying left, right and centre. But I did have a quiet word with an old buddy of mine there over the weekend who said that the county board were planning on buying Oisin Mullin's hair and were going to place it on Enda Hessian in a bid to maybe give him a few extra style points. I know he's up and coming, you know, but, you know, if we want to get him to Oisin's level, maybe we could kind of tape it sort of sideways across the top of his head in a kind of wrap a bit of tape, a bit like Willie Joe Padden wore back in 89. And you never know, Mayo fans might be able to manifest themselves. They might have to close their eyes and think about it, but, you know, they might be used to doing that or whatever. And they might imagine that Oisin was back playing for Mayo. I don't know, it's just a thought.
Well, Oisin is not the first Mayo player to give his hair away to charity. We know that Pori Kohora donated a virgin 12-inch of his luscious locks to Laura Lynn Hospice Charity or something to that effect.
And of course, CJ, Pat Holmes had a full head of hair when he started playing for Mayo, and we saw what that did to him.
Look, they've all dropped out of the starting team and they're trying to claw their way back in. So I just think we've always been firm believers in this podcast of look good, feel good, play good in that order. So I don't know if somebody wants to take the bit of hair and stick it on as a bit of a mullet. Somebody else wants to throw on the pink boots. I would have absolutely no problem. Absolutely no problem with that whatsoever, Fat Larry. Now we kind of can keep moving on now. The male sack square, is here beside me. It's stuffed to the gills. So I think we have two different bags we could fondle around in now at the moment. If you want to have a look in your bag, and I'll have a look in my sack here as well, and we'll just see what sort of thoughtful pieces of analysis have come in from you, the people behind it all, the fully half-baked, not well listenership of Mayo Are Back that we do it all for at the end of the day. So let's, without further to do, Fat Larry, is there anything that is taking your eye there at the moment that you'd like to bring up?
I'm finding TJ, and I was tuning in last night to Mad West Radio, and I suppose a good friend of ours, he gave a couple of nice shout-outs last night on Midwest, and we would like to return the favour and give a nice shout out to Martin Carney, who was in absolutely flying form. I mean, look at if half of these Mayo players could perform half as well as Martin Carney did on the mic last night, he was absolutely ripping it up. You know, he was absolutely fantastic. So just like to pass those messages on. You know, a lot of people out there very, very impressed. You know, I suppose a lot of people concerned as well, I suppose, by the earthquake that was caused by the Mayo team landing the last day. Look, thankfully it all went off relatively okay, you know, but I think it's a sign for other counties out there, you know, that this Mayo team mean business. Like, we've no problem going up and creating a large crater beyond in Roscommon in 2 weeks' time, or a sort of a meteor or a kind of a solar eclipse type equation. You know, we're well capable of it here in Mayo. That's some of the main bits from my sack, TJ. What's coming out of your bag there?
Well, somebody has brought up a talking point I've wanted to discuss for a while, and that is the emergence of Alan McDonald. Alan McDonald in the cornerback line. He's a man who has been a stalwart of Mayo in the political sphere for many years, and he's turned his attention now to sorting out that little leaky cornerback position that we've had in Mayo for a couple of seasons now. He's a tough, tigerish sort of a player that I think has a long career ahead of him, Fat Larry, at this level.
Yeah, absolutely, TJ. Look at it. I mean, Father Flanagan Park in Ballinrobe is one of myself and yourself's favourite places to attend live sporting events. And, you know, Al McDonald, of course, would have performed well in the past, TJ, in local elections. And, you know, there's no reason why he can't reinsert himself in a general election capacity with Mayo and represent the county and not just parish of Ballinrobe. So I say fair play to him. There's a lot of young Ballinrobe men in and around the panel there. I think it's good to see, you know, we've always said here, it's great to see the big towns represented, TJ. You know, there's a place for them as well. And I think, though, that bit of tigerish South Mayo toughness that always comes in handy when you're playing Galway, that'll be definitely helpful.
Absolutely. Tommy has got in touch. A very astute bit of piece of analysis from this listener. He says he likes the look of this new crop of Mayo players. Conroy Loftus, Stephen Cohen and Dermot O'Connor all putting the hands up saying that they could be strong options in the championship this season.
Yeah.
Another man called Pete, a young fellow who often does get in touch with us, he says Connolly's in Times Square is the most inbred environment he's ever been in. Now, that's stunning to hear, because that is Mayo half-bakes and not wells using their collective force of rambunctiousness in a sort of a new environment, in a new country even. God forbid what the Americans and the rest of the tourists would have thought of this rowdy crowd of red raw roasted Mayo bucaleros getting stuck into their lukewarm Bulmers over there in the bar.
Yeah, sure. Look, I know in the past they've been mistaken for a group of Mexican workers or something of that ilk. But Yeah, I know it's there's a fair chance that, you know, if there that wall could come in handy, you might need to build an old wall to pin in some of those Mayo inbreds who gathered there around the bucket of nuts. But great to see TJ. I mean, it really warm the cockles of your heart, and you know, it'd definitely give you a glimpse, I think, as to what it would be like, you know, if Mayo were to win the All Ireland. You know, that sheer level of Mayo euphoria and half-bakedness that you were referring to there, I think it was great to see, and you know, fair play to all the Mayo fans who made the journey. I'd say it was a tough weekend for them there. They put down, I'd say they were working very, very hard.
And from the bucket of nuts to the onion bag, there's a man who lives on the side of the N5 who got in touch to say that he did a shot every time Martin Carney said onion bag at the weekend, and he got absolutely warped. That's great to hear. There's another young gentleman here who's asked a great question. I like the sound of this question. Would you rather a fisted score to be worth more or a lifetime supply of Mayo jocks?
Oh, well, I suppose the jocks would come in handy. There's no doubt about it. When you're following this team with the level of interest that a lot of these inbreds are, those jocks would come in handy. But I mean, there's no better sight, TJ, than Fergal Boland going one-on-one with the goalie from 13 yards and fisting it high out over the net. I think it's a great sight, and it's great to see him back. And there's a few great exponents of the fist there in this Mayo team. And that'll come in handy in the bigger games coming up the line, I think.
Yeah. Another young gentleman here, he says he hasn't listened yet. Well, he hasn't listened yet because we haven't put it out yet. But it's out now. Hopefully he is listening to it now. He's also got in touch to say, up Mayo. And he's asked us to do a half-forward line power wanking. I don't think we have time for that on today's show.
In fact, we don't have any more time whatsoever. We've lost Fat Larry. Technical gremlins have gotten the better. That is the end of our episode for today. We'll leave you with a little piece of music to ring out. And we'll be back next month, hopefully, reviewing a win against the Rossies and previewing a cocked final. Up Mayo!
Falling the Rossies, there's nothing like it. Nothing compares to being a Rossie. One of the greatest footballers of all time. Brilliant. Brilliant. 2 pints. 2 pints. You'd nearly put them all into a mixed grill. I love traffic jam. I'm a scammer. I'm a scammer. And I love having manners at football matches. The best is yet to come for Paddy Joe and the Rossies and all of us.